This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and my co-host Scott German. We're going to talk some UVA basketball. The Hoos get the win 76-71 at Maryland in a game that, well, for a while looked like Virginia was going to kind of pull away, but Maryland made it interesting down the stretch and kept it close. Though I would say, Scott, even though the final margin was 5, I never felt like Virginia was in danger of losing this ball game. Maryland made it interesting, but it felt like the Hoos were in control all the way. But I will give Maryland credit. They did make it close late. They did stay in the ball game. Credit to Maryland, but also credit to Virginia for winning in a really tough environment. We know that environment is really tough.
Oh, for sure, definitely. The first true road game of the year. And just like they've done in almost every contest they played in, you know, they came out and they established themselves from the very get-go. They're not playing from behind. They kind of put their hammer down right from the opening tip. And I think they had maybe a 12-point lead at one time. Yeah, and even though Maryland made a rally, I think I texted you during the game that at some point Maryland would make a run. But at no point was I looking for that window to jump out of or a dog to kick or anything like that. I felt as though Virginia was going to, we're in control. And that's, I don't know what the, actually how close they came, other than maybe 5 at the end of the game, but it was close. Another really strong performance by Virginia.
Yeah, you know, in this one, Virginia had a 17-point lead, actually, early in the second half. It was 9 points at halftime, 9-1 run to start the second half. Timeout Maryland down 48-31, and they made it a game again. You know, chipped away, finally got it down to 4 with about 4 minutes to go on a basket. And then it stayed around that range, 4 to 6 to 7 points. Virginia got it back up to 10 on that breakaway dunk by DeAndre Hunter about a minute and a half to go. Maryland made it look better. The final score looked better because of a couple threes in the last minute that really had nothing to do with the margin of the game. But that all said, Maryland shoots 54% in this game, scores 71 points in this game, and goes 18 of 28 on shots in the paint. That's a lot of shots in the paint, a lot of makes in the paint. Virginia went small lineup again. Kihei Clark getting the start, playing 35 minutes for Virginia. Braxton Keeling getting 11 minutes today, 10 points and 11 minutes off the bench. Jack Salt was huge in this game. He played 30-plus minutes, I think it was 32 minutes in this game. 12 points, career high, 7 rebounds. So Tony's going small. Are you surprised by this, Scott? I'm a little surprised. Kihei Clark gets a start against his big team. Maryland starts 2 6-10 guys, but Kihei Clark starts, plays 35 minutes, and hey, he earned those minutes. He looked pretty good out there.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that from time to time this season. Tony will shift it, probably, you know, mix up the starting lineup. And Clark, again, we talked about it in our podcast yesterday. He's out there, and he's earning that playing time because he's a pest. He is just a damn pest out there defensively. And he played a brilliant game. You look at the turnovers as the team. I mean, just a complete performance from the very get-go. And I'm not surprised with the little smaller line because I think Virginia can get by with that. They just – the type of pressure they put on the ball and the help defense. Probably not too many teams can get away with that, but Virginia seems to be working in that direction, that's what you're going to see from time to time this season.
Yeah, Virginia, 2 turnovers in this game. 2 turnovers in this game. 14 turnovers for Maryland, and Virginia a 16-4 advantage of points off turnovers. You know, Maryland's a team that runs up and down the floor. They had 104 points in that 104-67 win over Marshall, an impressive win. We'll see Marshall coming up in about a month. They'll be playing also on New Year's Eve. Marshall's a good team. That's a team that won 27 games last year, played in the NCAA tournament, won a game in the NCAA tournament. That's a good team. Maryland beat the heck out of them, 104-67, just Friday night, just, you know, a few nights ago. And so for Virginia to win this game, Maryland certainly is playing the best basketball they can be playing right now. You know, Virginia controlled from the outset. Even when early in the game, when Maryland started 7 of 8 shooting in the paint. They were really getting the basket early. But even at that, there was a TV timeout, the second TV timeout, and I remember my wife Crystal. She's watching the game with me in the home office here. Neither Scott or I went to the game today. up in College Park. So I'm watching the game in the home office. My wife, Crystal, is doing some work. She's doing some graphic design work for a client. And she's not watching the game. She's listening to the game, and she's listening to me listen to the game. And she's hearing me curse, and she's hearing Jay Billis and the play-by-play guy. And she assumes Virginia's losing by 10 points. And she looks up, and she sees the score. Virginia's up by 8 points at that time. Virginia, you know, we didn't play the best game we could play. Defensively, you know, 54% shooting. I mean, everything, you know, all the stats there. Not the prettiest game for Virginia, but they went on the road in a very tough environment against a good opponent who's playing good basketball and controlled the game from the outset. There's something to be said for how Virginia performed tonight in that sense.
Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday. That could possibly be Maryland's marquee game of the year because they're in the Big Ten now. There's not a lot of big matchups. I'm sure when Michigan comes to town, that'll be a big game. But other than that, Michigan State maybe. But this was a game that the stars were out. I had to turn the volume of the TV down because I was being sick and tired of the ESPN Love Fest with Duke University. It's becoming just too much. And I was listening to the game on both Virginia's network and the Maryland network. I enjoy the Maryland play-by-play announcer. And they were saying that the stars were out. They came out for that game. Scott Van Pelt was there. Cal Ripken was there. John Harbaugh was there of the Ravens. Joe Flacco. So they were all, the celebrities were in College Park. They were there to see maybe if Maryland pull off that win and pull off an upset. It's probably the most hostile environment that they'll face this year. And that's taking into consideration they go to Cameron Indoor Stadium. Comcast is probably, in my opinion, is going to be the most hostile environment Virginia will face this season. And they took control early. They just came out and established the rhythm of the game, the tone of the game, and never really relinquished it.
Yeah, Scott and I have been in at least all the traditional ACC arenas. I'm not claiming that I've been to the Florida. I don't consider those traditional ACC arenas. And I don't think Florida State or Miami have great home crowds. But, yes, Maryland is a traditional ACC school. They're in the Big Ten now. But Maryland is by far the toughest place you'll ever play. Those fans, and I'll give them credit for this when I say it this way, they're vile. They're awful. They're mean. They're nasty. They cuss. They're terrible. They're terrible people, but they're great fans. And that play, you could tell, there were cut-ins on SportsCenter leading up to the 7:30 tip. And the Maryland fans were out there 2 hours before the tip, and they were vile 2 hours before the tip. That's a tough place to play. And then the arena's right, you know, the upper decks are right on top of the floor. I mean, you know, it was a blackout tonight. They were screaming. You saw plenty of UMBC signs out there. People remind, you know, the fans reminding UVA as if we need to be reminded that we lost to UMBC in the tournament last year. ESPN did its part. Yes, Scott. I watched the game. I wish I'd have listened to it instead of watched, at least the from a listening standpoint. Jay Billis, the Love Fest with Duke. They didn't play tonight, but we heard more about Duke than we heard about UVA or Maryland. But that all said, yes, tough place to play. And Maryland played. I mean, Maryland shot 54%. Maryland scored 71 points at home and lost in a game they really never had a chance to win. So, yes, there's a lot to go back to the drawing board for Virginia, but I got to say, I mean, that's an impressive win because you didn't play your best game defensively, by far didn't play your best game defensively, but you had Kyle Guy, who was hot for a stretch. He had 18 points he finished with. He had four guys in double figures. You had Guy with 18. Let's see if I get my stats up here real quick. If I can skip the scroll over, I can't. Yeah, here we go. Guy with 18. Jerome with 17. They were both 6 of 14 from the floor. Hunter with 15, he had a couple of shots blocked, but he also had some really impressive moves. Jack Salt, 12 points, 6 of 7 from the floor. Now, 5 of those were dunks, 1 was a layup. But Jack was huge in this game. Jack, it reminded me of the way he played in the Clemson game. Jack, 32 minutes. You know, we saw Jack, he missed a game back in the Bahamas. He didn't start one of the games after missing that game in the Bahamas. 32 points. He had 32 minutes, 12.7 rebounds, and played good defense in the post. So a good all-around game from a bunch of guys in this tough environment.
to be Jack Salt's career game offensively.
Yeah.
And against, I mean, he scored more than that, but certainly not against the caliber opponent.
No, this was his career high point.
So not maybe. His career offensive game, he was the Jack Salt that we know, you know, being there, being in Tony's system so long, he knows where to be, he knows his role, and he can, you know, yeah, you're right, most of those were dunks, but he still had to get in position, still had to have teammates find him, and they did an excellent job of that. I think that, you know, a lot of people clamor for Jay Huff to get more playing time. Well, we might see some playing time for Huff down the stretch, but Huff's going to have to pay his dues, and Jack is certainly going to be a key component to this team down the stretch as far as, even offensively. I mean, there's going to be games he's going to have to put up a little more points than he normally does, and I think he can. And you know, you saw it the way that Virginia worked the ball in, found him. I could not stomach any more of the ESPN broadcast, so I turned it off and I was listening to the Maryland broadcast online, and one of the classic calls was on the Hunter dunk, and I'm sure you know, remember that, late in the game, and when he went by his defender, dunked the ball, the Maryland play-by-play announcer said basically Hunter had taken the Comcast Center offline. Silenced that crowd. And you know, that was a poster dunk. That was an authoritative dunk, and that was just fun to watch.
There were, according to the ESPN crew, 39 NBA scouts representing 24 NBA teams in attendance. Now, you know, Maryland's a young team. There might be a couple guys there they're watching. DeAndre Hunter and Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, we know they're watching those guys. So a good performance in front of that group. And, you know, I'll say this too, Scott. I thought about this during the game, and I actually said it out loud, and I got to catch myself from saying these things out loud sometimes, because sometimes, you know, you feel like you're jinxing your team when you say this. But Virginia wins, I mean, their last two games. You beat Wisconsin, a Big Ten team, 53-46. Ugly basketball game. You know, Virginia had long stretches where they didn't score a point, it felt, and neither team scored a point. 53-46 Wisconsin, 76-71 beating a Maryland team that scored 104 just the other night against an NCAA tournament team. So I know it's not going to shut the critics up. Nothing will shut the critics up until Tony Bennett wins a championship in April, whatever April that may be, hopefully this April. But you can beat Wisconsin in a low-scoring game. You can beat Maryland on their floor in a relatively high-scoring game. What else can you ask for from this Virginia team than to be able to win two games back-to-back against top 25 opponents in very different style games?
Early, I mean, this early in season, we can't ask anything. Again, I'm going to still, you know, here it is the 20-something of November, the 20s, what are we on now, the 28th of November, I'm going to say this. I don't be surprised that at some point in this season we lose some games that we're not thinking that we're going to lose, and our record might not be as glossy as it was last year, but we've learned that 30 wins, whatever we did during the regular season, it when the tournament starts, it doesn't mean anything. You've got to stay healthy. Tony's rotation has got to, I don't know if he's just intensely trying to get it a little deeper so that he doesn't have to play as many. Some of these guys don't get quite as many minutes. Life on the road in the ACC, we were spoiled last year. We were perfect. We were undefeated on the road. That's something that just is mind-boggling to think. And to think that we can do that again this year, I'm not saying we can't, but I'm just saying if we don't, it's not the end of the world, because you know, tonight's game, for instance, we're critiquing the defense a little bit. We're being a little critical of the defense. Tony's chomping at that, because that's something that he can go back to JPJ tomorrow night, and that's something that he's going to have to work on. You know, use that as a teaching opportunity.
And for our listeners out there, Scott and I will continue to throw this cold water on wins like this because, yes, we had to drive back home after UMBC last March. So, I mean, we all did. We all had to do our own thing after that. It's a huge win for this team. We love – and this actually, I'll say this, it kind of reminds me of the West Virginia game last year. West Virginia is the other tough environment you play in. I mean, that's a hard environment to play in. Virginia lost that game. And then, of course, didn't lose again until, like, mid-February. And then didn't lose again until mid-March. But this time they win this game. And so, but yeah, you got to temper it with, okay, great win on the road. Tough test. Great. You passed it. Probably not a tough test coming up for a while now for this Virginia team. This was the toughest of all the tough tests. Wisconsin and Maryland back-to-back. But we've got a little bit of a break. Monday night's the next game. It won't be quite as tough, Morgan State. Scott and I will be there. It's in JPJ Monday night, 7 o'clock tip. We'll be there live blogging. We'll do a live Facebook afterwards. We'll get you ready for it ahead of time, too. So that's our quick recap after UVA Maryland. And we continue our run through the state of Maryland. And so, Scott, you know, you had to spend a lot of time in Maryland the last couple of months. I guess you feel good. I mean, we've beaten the rest of the state of Maryland at this point, so I guess we're getting some of our revenge. Do you feel like that?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I'm heading back this weekend to Maryland, and it's going to be fun to go there. And I think we're done with the state of Maryland now, unless we happen to get a matchup with someone in the NCAA. Now we can breathe a little easier. We cleared that hurdle. We beat all of our Maryland-based teams this year.
Thank goodness we're there. So Scott and I will get back together. We'll talk again on Monday. We'll get you ready for UVA's next home game, and we'll go from there. Well, thank you for listening. Thanks to Scott for joining us here on the podcast. And for all the listeners out there, wahoo-wah.